Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You have, I don't want to say you stumbled across, but there was an ESPN article about the Browns, yay?
Yeah, and it was about Andrew Berry, and it was going through basically what happened with draft night. And they were trying to lay out the case and everything in between. And I've noticed one part of that ESPN piece is going extremely viral. Now, again, this is not having to be credited to ESPN or anything in particular. Andrew Berry said this in a press conference. But the idea in talking about the Browns not planning to draft two quarterbacks, but then believing in positional value. Berry goes, we felt like it wasn't necessarily the plan going into the weekend to select two quarterbacks, and people have been running with that all day long. And I do think it is interesting. Like, is this Berry telling you that they were doing everything for 2026, then just the draft changed their plans?
I mean, I still think they're doing everything for 2026, right?
Well, so I think that's the interesting part about this, is that it feels like in taking two quarterbacks and two running backs, something that has never been done, they're putting an emphasis towards the offense, and they did change up relative to what you saw with the first two picks off the board, where they went defense, and we're like, all right, when they first went number five in Mason Graham in the trade out, and then obviously the off-ball linebacker Schlesinger at 33, you thought to yourself, this solidifies at 2026. And although we still think that, it's interesting that then they pivoted based off the board.
Yeah, I think in the end you're talking about a third and a fifth round pick and a late third round pick at that as well. So, like, I actually give Shador a chance to come in here. I do think he's closer to a second round talent than a fifth round talent. But, I mean, am I banking on the fact that those guys are going to change the fate of the Browns? Not really. I think it's weird that people draw this line. And I don't think you're doing this.
No.
Because I think a lot of people are, but I do think a lot of people are doing it where, well, because they drafted two quarterbacks, if this is no longer about 2026. I'm like, guys, it's a third rounder and a fifth rounder.
Yeah, you can't bank too much on what you did with Shador and Dylan Gabriel and change that off 2026 at all.
And here's the thing. It's even if those guys play, they might solidify themselves as contenders moving forward, but In 99 out of 100 simulations of this season where those guys play, you're still taking quarterback next year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you're going to need Shador, a fifth-round pick that historically doesn't end up turning into something, or a third-round pick, something that doesn't historically turn into something. Yeah, there's Russell Wilson. There's examples we can use, but more times than not, you're going to still have to go back for the 2026 class.
I mean, let's be honest. If Shador starts, let's say Shador grabs the job week one, they go 6-11, and he is the 18th best quarterback in the draft. You're still taking quarterback one next year, right?
You mean 18th best quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
That I don't know, because if you look at every quarterback not named Jaden Daniels last year, they were somewhere between the 20th to 27th best NFL quarterback last year. Like, go look at the actual numbers and where they rate out with everyone. The rookie class, although it's perceived to be very good, rookies don't tear up the league. Like, if you're 18th after year one, that's actually a good launching point.
So, okay, let's say his numbers look like Gardner Minshew, the one year that Jacksonville had him start, and then the very next year they got the number one pick for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that's obviously different. That's a different story.
But, I mean, Gardner looked like a solid starting quarterback. It was everything else around him.
You don't let Gardner Minshew stand in your way.
So, I think we're just in a really interesting spot where there's enough intrigue for this year. And listen, I also don't look at Shador or Dylan as one-year deals. So I think they're going to be a part of the quarterback room. And maybe long-term, maybe this is the way I look at it. Like, long term, we should expect Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders over the next year and a half to fight over who's going to be the backup of whoever they get in 2026 until proven otherwise.
Until proven otherwise. Your first scenario, though, I think is really interesting, because I think that's one that actually might be a very dividing one, and it might end up being the one that would scare the Browns the most, if that he is not Shedeur, Dylan Gabriel, anyone in between, not only doesn't just grab the job, but does look good enough that you're like, maybe there is something we need to hang on to and keep giving reps to.
I mean, but even in that, like, what are you afraid of? Having too many good quarterbacks?
It's not having too many quarterbacks. You would then move off of drafting one in 2026.
And I don't
because
think
if
so.
Because if you believe you're headed in the right direction and the arrow is headed in the right direction, then you would then pivot off with your two first round picks next year, and you would just take positional value there.
I think the problem is if you get it wrong. If it is the, you take him, he looks reasonably good, let's just say top 20, and then you go, well, we got to give him another year here, and we got to figure out what we have in him, and then he goes out there, and he's the same guy a year later.
For sure, but that also plays with an interesting concept, too, that you would take a quarterback in 2026, and then you'd still give Shedeur a second year to try to go ahead and prove his worth while having a quarterback in 2026.
Whichever.
Taken.
Let's say it's a, whether it's, not Pickett, I'm so out on this idea. But if one of the young quarterbacks grabs the job this year and does a reasonably well job, it's not going to stop me from taking a quarterback. But what I think it affords you is the ability to have an actual legit quarterback. A competition next year. And worst case scenario, you let the rookie sit for a year and allow the team to continue to develop around him.
Yeah, I mean, I could. There's so many different ways that we could take this.
We are just doing the wheel of possibilities.
That's what it is, and it's funny because we're back into that same wheel of possibilities we were with the draft, where it was like, well, they could take Shedeur at 2, they could also trade out at 2, they could trade up at 2, and then you end up in a mixed bag. That I mean, in the next 4 months, we'll find out what happens. But it's incredible the amount of possibilities that the Browns do have.
Sorry to interrupt you, bud. This is more exciting to me.
Oh, 100%.
And like
100%.
You know, like, I just think, listen, logic tells us Shedeur is going to be something in between the best quarterback in the NFL next year and the biggest bust to come out of this draft this next year. Might not even play at all. But I think as you kind of get into it, watching him or Dylan Gabriel at some point this year trying to kind of assert themselves into that job could be interesting. Like I think maybe that's the thing I want to avoid. I think the only scenario in which the rookie quarterbacks really get uninteresting to me is if they have no chance to win the job. It's a Pickett versus Flacco production. And then with like 5 games to go, it's we got to see what we have in those guys. Because in no scenario can they do
anything.
It's
not a fair chance.
Well, in those 5 games, there's nothing they can do to actually throw you off the scent of drafting a quarterback in 2026.
Yeah, in those 5 games, they wouldn't be able to show you anything. And so Joe Flacco showed us a lot in 5 games, right? So maybe 5 games would be enough in that instance, not to throw you off for 2026, but to cast doubt that whoever the quarterback you take in 2026 should start right away. Like, I still believe in the idea that if you take a quarterback number 1 overall, you play that quarterback your rookie season. Like, maybe what Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders are playing for this upcoming season is to make sure that that's not the reality for the 2026 pick.
Would be arguably the most Brownsian thing in the world is if Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, with 5 games to go, pulled a full Lovie Smith, and were the reason you got like the number 3 pick instead of the number 1 pick.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be on the table. 100% would be on the table.
216-474-0092. Andrew Berry last week talking about we didn't plan to draft 2 quarterbacks, but then positional value kind of came in, draft value came in on this. Is this Berry telling you that they were going that they're still doing everything for 2026? Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey guys, listen, no, short of these guys taking the team to like 16-1, 15-2. And to the AFC championship game, no. And I say that because, look, they already moved off. This organization already showed you that they move off of Baker Mayfield because, yeah, they thought he was good enough to win, but not good enough to win a Super Bowl. So, no, if you have a shot at taking what you think is a blue-chip franchise quarterback next year, you know, they're doing it. There's almost 100% chance that that's what they're going to end up doing, no matter what.
Jim, would you like to have the power to be able to tell the gender of somebody else's baby while they're in utero?
No, this is the dumbest superpower of all time, by the way. Mike's thing is that maybe this guy's got an extra sense of smell, and so maybe we could train him to, like, detect bombs and drugs.
What's he catching a whiff of there, Jim?
I don't know, pheromones, whatever. This is like in The Family Guy when Meg could grow her nails long. Like, it's the worst, dumbest, most useless superpower of all time.
All right, real quick. Worst superpower, the giggler or the gender sniffer?
Oh, that's terrible, Nick. I don't know. What's the giggler? What is that one?
So that's Mac's new superpower.
Yeah.
Well, not new. He's had it for a while.
He just giggles people into submission.
We've just not labeled it.
I'm going to giggle on air.
Oh, Nick. And by the way, Nick, the original wedding ring is not the only time you should look at Ness and feel like you've let her down.
No. I have a daily reminder, Jim, of just like how she could have done better than me, bud.
Because and John, Jonathan, it's time you start trying for another baby. We got to get another little Peterlin out there.
Why do you have to say pumping them out, man? Start pumping them out.
We need at least 3 or 4 Peterlins running around.
We're definitely stopping at 2, Jim.
I felt like we were talking about something else.
I like that Jim more times than not just calls me and calls us and just tells me of all the different ways he doesn't like me. But he's like, we need more Peterlins in the world.
Do you think it's because he wants you to have more stress in your life?
Is that what that is?
Maybe that's what it is.
He's like, I know this will interrupt your sleep. It'll interrupt your daily. I know this brings you a lot of headache and a lot of things that you now have to do that you don't really want to do.
It's too bad.
But it is a great joy.
It's too bad Mac can't giggle women to submission. You know what I mean?
There's a power.
Just wear them down over time. All right. I'll do it. Is this Andrew Berry telling you that they were doing everything for 2026 all along, the Browns rookie quarterback plan, and Malik Nabers has something to say about what people are saying about Shedeur Sanders after the draft? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. You just never know what a young kid listens to. I think Malik Nabers has the best of intentions. So this, I don't want this to come off like a criticism.
Yeah.
I hope this isn't what Shedeur is listening to. Because I do think...
What part of that was bothersome to you?
Well, not bothersome, just the idea that somehow, you know, Shedeur was a victim of the NFL machine. Shedeur was the victim of his own bad decisions. And I hope that he takes away the lesson of... I might have been a first-round pick if not for whatever missteps I had.
Yeah.
I'm going to focus on fixing that and doing things the way that I'm asked to do things as opposed to hearing other players say, you know, what happened to you was BS and you just keep being you.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, you don't want him walking around being like, man, I got really screwed there and it's because it was a me against the world and everyone just had it out against us because of our last name and everything associated with that, because that's not fair. And you're right, that does not paint the right portrait of how it went down either. That's why I told you for weeks before what would happen in the NFL draft that I thought the Sanders family was handling that in just probably the worst way you possibly could.
Well, and I the thing that intrigues me, okay, well now this is like the first time you've ever been coached by somebody who's not your pops.
Yeah.
Let's go see how that plays out in a pro setting. And because I think the thing we don't give credit for maybe to 22-year-old kids for, I keep calling him a kid, 22-year-old young men, is some of them do learn a hell of a lot quicker than people realize. And like maybe, and I hate to do, is this the wake-up call he needed? But there's a part of me that wonders like, man, maybe all he needed was kind of an understanding of, hey, the NFL is a little different, man. You're not going to walk in and be somebody's GM. You're not going to walk in.
Yeah.
Like, there are certain things you can do in the NFL like you did in college, and there are certain things you need to adapt to.
But I do wonder if he got taken number 2 overall. We talk about like the GM side of things. I wonder how far he would have tried to push it. I do. I know the NFL would tell you they wouldn't stand for it, but there's a lot of top picks that get a lot of things that they want. And but being taken in the 5th round, you just get none of those now.
Can I tell you, though? There is something. I'm actually really, really interested in this idea of... Will any of that stuff ever pop up if like, let's say Shedeur wins the job this year? Let's say he's good this year.
Yeah.
And then all...
Like, what diva mentality does he have?
Well, no, like, it's 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Yeah.
If he becomes a franchise quarterback, is he going to start dictating things? Are you going to have the Aaron Rodgers treatment instead of the Pat Mahomes treatment?
How quick does it go back to his head? I don't know. I really do.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Do buy into the idea that the further and further you get away from Dion, the better it's all going to work out for him. Just from a personality standpoint and just from a not being that guy to like take on the GM's calls and to do anything else like that. I think Dion was calling so many shots in this kid's life, and he listened to his dad. When 22 years old, we all listen to our dads, right? Especially when we're trying to figure out life and figure out everything associated with life.
You actually did that?
Well, my dad, I think, he was dead at 23. So, yeah, 22, I would think I was heavily listening to what my dad was saying. Of course. I think a lot of people tend to listen to their dad. But especially if your dad was Deion Sanders and had a lot of success in the field that you want to go into. Did you not listen to your dad at 22?
I don't think I listened to anybody at 22.
Yeah, you have
I don't know that I listened to anybody at 39.
You have a defiance for authority that is interesting to me.
Which is funny because my dad could not have been less of an authority figure.
He feels like the type of person you would have exactly listened to, though.
Yeah,
you would have been his shadow almost. You would have been just like, everything dad does is great and I just want to be around him.
Yeah, that probably was it. Yeah, there was no real friction there. We were just buddies.
Yeah, you're just buddies. But like, you're going to listen to that. You're going to listen to what your dad has to say. But I think Dion tried to control Shador and a lot of what Shador was doing, and I don't think it was 100% Shador's call in many ways. And so I'm curious to find out how much of it actually is his call, and we'll find that out here in Cleveland.
216-474-0092. So you heard there Malik Nabers saying that teams did Shador dirty. I still don't know that I agree with that. I've tried to come around to the idea of, like, listen, it wasn't collusion, and everybody who said it wasn't collusion is silly. Everyone who said it was collusion is silly. I also think it was wild that we've gotten so many different think pieces. Like Florio, last night I was driving home. I was stopped at the stoplight, looked down at my phone. The first thing that I see is a Florio tweet about, another reason Shador fell. And it's like, I think it's pretty obvious.
Well, Florio is also a master of understanding what gets clicks and what gets attention. And he sees Shador's got the number one selling rookie jersey. He knows anything you say about Shador is going to get attention. I really think that's where all the think pieces and everything came from. It's just a hot topic, and Shador drives ratings, so people latched onto it.
We also haven't talked about the fact that Shador will wear number two. The number two jersey's up on the Browns website.
Oh, did they officially do that?
If I saw that picture correctly, I don't remember who tweeted it. So now
I didn't see that at all.
I'm second-guessing it quite a bit. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Shador Sanders number two jersey is up on the website.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Can you stall for like two seconds?
Yeah, I can stall because, well, this would mean the jersey that I bought for $30 overseas is now the most valid jersey that we could possibly have. The worry I had was that Shador would throw a curveball in the mix, change it up, not go with number two, and then the prophecy of the Sanders 2 Browns jersey would then just be just wrong is all it is. It's a way of getting it right but being wrong. Right church, wrong pew type moment for myself.
I keep stalling because I'm trying to figure out how to use this.
Well, at this point, I'm going to have to go through like a Lawrence Taylor number.
It's listed as 00 on the website there.
Was it in your For You tab on Twitter again?
Don't you put this on the For You.
Girl and what she did to that car today.
Hey, that car had it coming.
On the Browns Pro Shop, they have the picks are in. You can pre-order the jersey, and the jerseys will ship when the numbers are confirmed.
This is the same source you had that told you Mason Graham drives a minivan?
No, that was different. That was Robert. That was our buddy Robert who got that one wrong. He got a lot of information.
He got it wrong.
He probably listened to Baskin and Phelps numbers segments that they have once a day. And probably just got the wires crossed.
I'm going to need you to fact check more than just taking Robert at his word, by the way.
No.
Moving forward, I'm going to need a little bit more.
I didn't bring it up to Mason.
I'm going to need at least just
maybe
quick...
would have saved that interview.
Well, thank God Keith came in here and was like, don't bring up that minivan.
Honestly, maybe us making a mistake with Mason would have opened him up a little bit more, and then we kind of go forward with it.
I think I'm going to need just a quick Google search when you see something like that on the internet, though.
It was an image on the internet. I don't know.
quick, I mean, like, is this
actual...
These are the
times we live in.
This actually true? Is it not true?
I didn't realize I was dealing with Woodward and Bernstein just in one person over here.
You need to... I'm Cronkite when it comes to getting these things right. You have to get these things right here, Nick.
How many times have you gotten things right?
I don't know. Too many to count, apparently.
All of a sudden, the journalism bundle's falling apart.
Too many to count,
much
apparently.
Much like journalism the horse will tomorrow in Kentucky Derby.
I wouldn't let Robert tell me anything in life.
I think I take that as a shut up. The Kentucky Derby.
Are you ready for the Derby?
You bet your sweet pippy boyo.
Why are you doing that?
Because I lost air because I'm a obese man and I lost air when I was trying to answer you, and so I sounded Irish and then we just stuck to it.
I told you earlier. I can't do that right now. My voice is still. As I was doing that, I did the YouTube show earlier, and so I was on like a Skype call, right? And I did it on my phone instead of my computer because my computer was just whatever. And Charlotte started making noise in the background, and I thought I had her set up right. I thought I had like the milk all there, and I thought I had the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on the TV, and we were all ready to go. And she was making so much noise, and I'm like, oh no, this isn't great. So I got to go upstairs, right? And so I walked upstairs with my phone and I was trying to talk, and I got up the stairs and I'm no kidding, I was out of breath. I was like, I can't finish the sentence. I can't do it. It doesn't work.
You're out of breath like right now.
Yeah, this cough. And see, now I'm not blaming it of being out of shape. I'm going to blame this cough now that
That's
you just heard
it
for
is.
Yourself.
That's
yeah,
what
I was
is.
Really worried for a second there. I'm like, man, I got to throw more cardio in the mix here. If this is taking me out, it's got to be the cough.
Cliff in Streetsboro. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Thank you. I was calling. I had a question, and I also needed maybe an answer and an opinion. And I was following the draft, and I watched the combines. And one of my favorite players in the NFL is DK Metcalf. And I have to break my allegiance now that he's a Steeler.
Me too.
He's 6'4". He has a 40-inch vertical. In a red zone offense, who's going to cover him?
I don't know.
I mean, that just seems like a jump ball.
Maybe the German linebacker. He seems maybe tall.
Okay. I mean, that they got to come up with something. Because I had my eye the whole draft on a kid out of Iowa State, Darian Porter, a 6'4 corner back. There were only like three of them that were 6'3 or 6'4. He ran a 4.3 40 at the combine and had a 40-inch vertical. And we got to play Pittsburgh twice a year. And if they had somebody that could match up with him, it would kind of alleviate the possibility of just having a jump ball that he just goes up and catches touchdowns in the red zone all the time.
I think they're going with one of the most complete cornerbacks of the NFL, a little fella named Denzel Ward. Or, I mean, MJ Emerson's like 6'2", 6'3".
Is he that tall? I thought
MJ's not that tall.
He is 6'2".
I've stood next to MJ. If he's listed at 6'2", it's a lie.
MJ Emerson.
If he's listed at 6'2", or 6'3",
it's a lie.
We're
just becoming the Google show. It says 6'2".
Yeah, that's a lie.
It says Greg Newsom is 6'1". No, that's a lie.
And Denzel Ward's not 6'2".
No, he's 5'11". Grant Delpit, 6'3".
Is Delpit healthy? I haven't heard anything about him.
Seems healthy to me.
Okay.
Cliff?
Yeah, I just wanted an opinion on that because I think the Raiders took this guy Darian Porter out of Iowa State, and I hadn't called a talk show since Kendall Lewis because I went to school with him at OU.
And then,
this is the one that got you in?
Pardon?
This is the call that got you in?
No. I hadn't called a talk show in a while. So this is my first time calling the talk show since I used to call him into the thing.
That's very nice of you to say. Cliff, real quick. We were talking about this in the end of the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
would you
here.
Want the prophetic power to be able to tell what the gender of somebody's baby is while they're in the womb?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so.
All right. We appreciate it. Very robust answer there from Cliff.
Robust answer.
Because he was a little, he thought about it. He gave it, I don't think so.
No.
And then doubled down on it, which we appreciate.
How about that being the first call in a very long time to sports radio?
Also, because he said the initials there, BSK, we love us some Kendall Lewis here on the show.
There
always was very nice to me when it was a very terrible 2020 update and was always very encouraging to me. And at one point was like, maybe stop doing some of the things you're doing because I think it might be hurting you. And he was right. And that was good advice from a good buddy. We love BSK. 216-474-0092. Is the NFL doing Shedeur Sanders, or did they do Shedeur Sanders wrong? In case we missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.